This comes as a result of a counselee. So there was a particular counselee that I had, and I've heard some other teaching on the issue of mystical counselees, and there were some areas that I thought really needed to be addressed that weren't. And so I thought, I'm going to bring these two ideas together. One, I've heard some talks on this, and then on the other hand, I had a mystical counselee, and I thought it might be helpful for you when you get into these spots to think about how you could help. Well, if you've counseled long enough, you know that you have many different types of counselees. You have, for example, the legalist. And this is the person who wants to make a rule out of everything you say. I mean, if you said it, that's the law. That's the way it is. And I mean, it is the law, the Medes and the Persians, and it cannot be changed. You've also had the person that would be like the sponge. I mean, they just soak up everything you say as if it's the first time that they've heard it. Then you've had the arguer. They want to debate everything you tell them. So you open your Bible and they want to talk about the passage and whether or not you handled it correctly. And then they want to talk about your application, whether you handled that correctly. And then they want to argue about your homework and whether that was actually helpful or not. And then the next week comes and it's the same thing over and over and over and over again. I mean, you can't even talk without them arguing about what you're going to say. Is it sunny outside? No, it's actually partly cloudy. Is it 42 degrees? No, it's actually 38 degrees. And it just seems like no matter what you say, there's going to be some type of rebuttal. Then you've had the rebel. They don't want to change. They don't want to take responsibility. And it seems like no matter how much you try, I mean, you have even in desperation said, please open your Bible to 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And you read it. And you say, I have tried to exhort you. I've come after you a little bit. I have tried to encourage you. Because maybe I was wrong about thinking about you as the unruly person or as the lazy person. And so maybe you're the faint-hearted person. I tried to encourage you. And then you read and helped the weak. And so that didn't work. So maybe you decided, well, maybe this person is just weak. And so now they just need help. And you're like, I've tried them all. Could you just please tell me how you want me to minister to you? Could you please help me? Give me some advice on how I can counsel you, because obviously I haven't figured out how to do that yet. Well, while we seek to minister with grace and compassion and patience, regardless of the attitude of our counselee, there are also certain concerns that we share with the legalists. There are certain concerns that we have regarding the arguers, etc. And therefore, there are some commonalities. So while counseling is personal and it is specific, there are some commonalities between these groups of people. And I want to talk about the mystic. I want to tell you, first of all, about the case that I had and then describe what I think the mystic really is. A couple came into our counseling. I'd never met them before. They were from our community. And he said that he was a believer. But as I got to know him, I mean, his version of Christianity was so far from mine that it was hard to find any in his. He was regularly, I mean regularly, out at the bars all night. They were not involved in any church and hadn't attended really anywhere for years. At least initially, he seemed like a deadbeat dad who was still living in the home. And that is, he just didn't care what his kids did. He wasn't interested in spending time with them. He wasn't interested in caring for any of their needs or concerns. I mean, that was really somebody else's problem. She said that she was a believer and that she had authority over the devil. In fact, she had just kicked out one of the demons from her house earlier that morning. And her story, she was also very thankful for the gift of tongues in her prayers because now she knew that the Lord heard her. And in a different context, I'll tell you a little bit more about it later, she actually explained to one of our pastors that she was a modern-day prophet. Now, mind you, here was her story. I mean, her story was, in her mind, she was unbelievably spiritual. She had gifts and abilities that made everyone around her jealous. But she grew up in a broken home. She had an older child from a previous relationship. And her and that older child are now estranged. She had another child, older child, from a different relationship. So this would be relationship number two. And she gets along with this particular child, but the child is going through what she described as normal teenage stuff. I was kind of concerned about the normal teenage stuff. Then she lived with her new husband before they were married, two children with him who were very little, and her marriage was a complete disaster. So despite the fact that she was an incredibly gifted spiritual pillar, she had nothing but destruction surrounding her. I mean, it was a very interesting mix of theology in her mind. And as I thought about it, these individuals share some common characteristics. What I was hearing from her is something that I had heard before. And so let's think a little bit about some of these characteristics and try to outline what they might be. The first one is that the mystic believes that they have special gifts from the Lord. Now, some of my friends have what might be viewed as an open but cautious understanding of the sign gifts. Some of you have read D.A. Carson's book, Showing the Spirit. It's an exposition of 1 Corinthians 12 to 14. Absolutely outstanding. A piece of work. And then at the end of it, he says he's open to the sign gifts, but he's cautious about the expressions of them. In other words, he says that there are some who are deceived and there are some who are liars and manipulators, but he leaves the door at least somewhat open to the possibility that they exist. But I have found that my mystical counselees have not been studying D.A. Carson. They have not been really thinking very thoughtfully about people like him or John Piper either. This person hasn't thought about the text. They're not able to discuss textual questions from various points of view. This person has not reached the conclusions that they have through a very careful analysis of the biblical text. Instead, they heard a preacher say something, and then they really latched on to that. I'm talking about a person who probably doesn't even know that 1 Corinthians has 14 chapters in it. I'm talking about a person who attended church 5 times in the last 2 years, and they have read 1 entire page of their Bible. Yet they're absolutely convinced. I mean absolutely convinced that they have certain gifts. Normally, at least the ones that show up in Lafayette, Indiana, the ones that are most common are speaking in tongues and some form of authority over the demons and the devil. And so they'll talk about how they kicked a demon out of their house. They will talk about their ability to speak in tongues. But I want you to see that this is very different than what I'll just call the biblical charismatic who walks into your office. They would never say that they smacked a demon with a broom this morning and told him in the name of Jesus never to come to their house again. That is not how they're going to talk. But that's how the mystic talks. The mystic also does not believe that they need any outside authentication. The mystic's word is all that you need. So when I asked the question, well, how did you know that there was a demon in your house? Well, the answer was, well, I saw one. Now, if you were there, you couldn't see him because you don't have the same gifts that I have. But when I chased him out in the name of Jesus, I saw him leave. Well, isn't that interesting? Because now I have to take their word for it, don't I? And if I don't take their word for it, then they become offended because now their view is that you think they're crazy. You might think they're crazy, but you don't want them to think that you think that they're crazy. Well, again, that's a very interesting mix. Because, you know, in Scripture, whenever we found somebody who really was demon-possessed, other people actually knew it. Look at the Gospels over and over again. It's not typically the demon-possessed person that shows up to Jesus and asks to be healed. It's somebody around them, parent, friend, who's bringing that person and saying, Jesus, would you please heal this person? It took me a little while to figure that out because when I was reading my Bible, I was used to seeing some kind of authentication. Even 1 John says, test the spirits to see if they are from God. There's a call to investigate. But the average mystic has no such tolerance for those types of questions.